And I'm not sure who's arguing for the FLE. Mr. Kite? I'm sorry? Mr. Kirko? Welcome. All right, Mr. Snissel, would you care to reserve any of your time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor. Pardon me. 3 minutes.
All right. I'm glad to hear from you when you're ready.
May it please the Court, I am Lou Snissel. I am here on behalf of Mr. Stadler, the appellant. I think the issue before the Court today is whether the Commission arbitrarily disregarded Mr. Stadler's credible testimony and instead relied on a series of what amounts to incredible evidence that does not support its opinion. And then, assuming that if it did so, the Commission disregarded the teaching of Cridlin, which is that the Commission can rely on the evidence of a claimant concerning the causation of an accident. And I'm going to go through that in some detail. Mainly, the point that I want to make to the Court is that I believe that the Commission relied on extremely strained interpretations of the evidence before it to find evidence that Mr. Stadler failed to carry his burden of proof. I mean, for example, the Commission says that the claimant denied suffering an injury. He clearly said that
I think it's clear that the evidence is essentially undisputed. Your client had an injury. The question is whether it was work-related. I think when I first read the record in this case, I was mildly confused because on the one hand, there was a conclusion by both the commission and the deputy commissioner that your client was a credible witness. And of course, that's a credibility finding that's binding on us. But then, of course, as a matter of law, came to the conclusion that it was not a work-related injury. So I had to go back and read it again and make sure I understood what was going on. Near as I can figure it out, the commission was essentially concluding that your client was credible in asserting that he was injured, his shoulder was injured and whatnot, but that based on the evidence from the physicians and other sources that the injury wasn't sustained in the course of his employment.
Well, he reported the injury to his employer the day that it happened. The employers, Mr. McCauley, all but admitted it. In other words, he said that Mr. Stadler came in at the end of that business day and reported that he had fallen, and that he, according to McCauley, he was hurt all over. According to Mr. Stadler, he reported specifically that he hurt his shoulder. Now, when you fall and hurt your shoulder, and then 4 months later you have surgery, that's a major event you're going to remember. When you're the boss and you have a million things to do and somebody comes in and says they fell twice and they hurt themselves, maybe they remember the specific body part, maybe they don't. It was at the time there was no medical care required. He didn't think he was hurt badly enough to require it. So it stands to reason that both of these men essentially were telling the truth. It's just that Mr. McCauley did not remember being told specifically that it was the shoulder because it was not an important enough event for him to make that mental note. So he did report it. I mean, that's Mr. Stadler's story. He hurt his shoulder at work that day when he fell twice. Now, the commission also relied on some other evidence, which it suggests undermines what Mr. Stadler says. But when you look at the evidence, it just doesn't bear out. I mean, the September 23... they say that the physician denied that the claimant's disability correlated with an injury, relying on a note from September 23. That disability form, the claimant on the first page talks about his knee injury, not his shoulder injury. On the second page, the physician, Dr. Norton, mentions both injuries. So it's not clear which one he is talking about is not work-related. It's before there's any appearance in that document is dated before there's an appearance in Dr. Nord's records that the injury is in fact work-related. And it also says that the disability commenced August 18. August 18 is the date of the first appearance to Dr. Nord. At that time, the only thing that Mr. Stadler reported to Dr. Norton was the fact that he injured his knee while he was on vacation a few days before. So, you know, that document, to take that as proof that Dr. Norton believes that his disability is not related, it's just not there. It is at best ambiguous, and I think really the best evidence there, the best inference, is that he was talking about Mr. Stadler's knee.
But isn't that the fact finder's role to determine if what evidence is best or what evidence is to put weight on? I mean,
well, they have to interpret the document before him. I think the interpretation of that document is that Dr. Nort's talking about his knee injury is not related, which, you know, we can see the knee injury is not related. That's not what the case is about. I just think that in the face of Mr. Stadler's testimony that his injury stems from falling that day, relying on this document which suggests that he was disabled because of his knee, I don't think it's a peg that they should be able to hang their hat on, or that you should have, because it just doesn't suggest that at all. What it suggests is that he was disabled because of his knee. That's what Dr. Norton was talking about.
Counsel, does this case turn on the interpretation of the commission's finding about the testimony of the claimant?
I think it turns on their interpretation, frankly, of the evidence that they used, that they determined. They found he was credible, but then they paid lip service to that. But if what they used to find against my client, I don't think amounts to the credible evidence that supports their determination. So I think that's really what it turns on, is how credible the evidence is that the commission cites, which they determine that the disability did not relate to the
accident. So is the answer to my question yes? Does this case come down to the question of how to interpret the commission's finding of credibility?
It does, in the sense I think they just ignored the mandate that they said my client's testimony was credible, but then they found against him based on evidence that doesn't support their opinion. So in a sense, they just ignored their own determination that it was credible. That's how I view this case. I hope that answers the question. The other evidence, there's a posting form. It's dated October 28th that was in Dr. North's office. There's no evidence he even saw it. It's clear, it would certainly appear, that what that document involves is the details of a surgery which has to be set up, and different people have to be notified of different things and to be in different places and to bill the right insurance company. You know, Dr. Nort's name is on it, but he's not signed it. There's no evidence he even saw it, let alone that he intended to express any kind of opinion regarding the cause of Mr. Stadler's injury.
I'm trying to put together a timeline here. You know, we had the injury in July. He doesn't seek medical attention until September. And Dr. Nort is treating him for, quote, ongoing right shoulder pain in addition to the knee injury. And then we have this form, Industry Health Benefit Plan form, where Dr. Nort apparently indicates that the disability was quote, not in any way related to his employment. And then we also have this preoperatory note, I guess presumably also from Dr. Nort, indicating that the shoulder surgery is not work, quote, work comp related. And I guess those two documents seem to be the primary evidence upon which the commission relied in concluding that this injury was not work-related. Would you agree so far?
Yes, sir. Yes, Your Honor, I do agree, but my suggestion is that evidence is not credible evidence, which supports
And that gets to my point, which is simply who determines what's credible and not credible. Certainly not us. That's the commission's role, isn't it?
But it's not a matter, I mean, this is not a matter of credibility as into which witness one believes. It's what certain documents mean. The commission took them to mean things that I do not believe the documents themselves support. They interpret them in a extremely strained manner give them an interpretation which they do not deserve. If you really look at the document closely,
the
timing.
Probably the most common dilemma we face as judges on this court, and I'm sure on the Supreme Court as well, is the tendency to put ourselves in the shoes of the fact finder. And I'm sure I speak for all of us when I say we often conclude that if I had been the trial judge or if I had been the commissioner, a commissioner, I would have, you know, weighted the evidence very differently and maybe come to a completely different result. But that typically is not our role as appellate courts. We review matters of law, not matters of fact. And so if evidence in the record supports a factual conclusion, whether or not we would have come to the same conclusion had we been the fact finder, you know, our hands are basically tied, aren't they?
I do not believe so in this case, because I do not believe the documents in any way support the commission's determination. They're just not evidence for the commission's conclusion. That's my contention. It's not credible evidence on which they you know, it's not a matter of believability in the classic sense of who's telling the truth and who's not, but it is the interpretation. Any document, you have to interpret what it means. In this instance, they took it to mean things which just is beyond the common sense meaning of what these documents really tell us. That's my conclusion. That's what I'm hoping that the court determines to be the correct answer. Again, the September 23 document is before Dr. Nort makes any note in his records that he was clearly involved in, that this was a work-related incident. So, of course, he's not going to say it's work-related when he, you know, when it's not been reported to him as work-related at that point. Plus, there's the, you know, that September 23rd document apparently refers to the knee injury. So saying that it's Dr. Nort's opinion on causation is just not there. I mean, the document, I don't think, can be taken to mean that at all. The same is true for the October 28th document. It is an administrative form. It is prepared. I mean, you think what is on that form. Somebody sat there, excuse me, and typed in Mr. Stadler's Social Security number and policy number for the Anthem policy.
I just want to interrupt you and let you know you're getting into your rebuttal time. You can keep on going and use it, or you can stop it, whichever you choose.
Your Honor, I think I have covered the principal points, and I would like to reserve the rest of the time for rebuttal.
All right, that'll be fine. All right, Ms. Perkin.
Good morning,
Your Honor. Good morning.
My name is Roberta Amperco, and I represent the appellees in this matter, Tyson Krupp Elevator Corporation and its workers' compensation insurance carrier. The appellees come before this court in the strongest position known in law, and that is as the prevailing party below on the issue of causation. And causation is a finding of fact which is binding on appeal if supported by credible evidence. Appellees believe the issue in this case is causation. And to follow up on your question, Your Honor, the case does not turn on Mr. Stadler's credibility. As pointed out, the deputy commissioner found Mr. Stadler to be credible, and that finding was affirmed by the full commission. The full commission did not dispute that Mr. Stadler was credible, and that he had actually fallen twice on the same day.
At his workplace?
At his workplace. That the injury, you know, occurred in the course of his employment. What the full commission found, however, and the reason we believe we're here, is because Mr. Stadler failed to carry his burden of proof with regard to causation.
Well, let me ask you about that, because if you're agreeing that he was hurt, and you are, and if you're conceding that his injury occurred while on the job and it's a work-related injury, then what's left to prove in order to receive the benefit of the workers' compensation statutes? You know, you get medical benefits, period, lifetime medical benefits, if you're hurt on the job, if it's a work-related injury. So we have testimony that everyone agrees, every fact finder involved agrees is credible, that your client is hurt on the job, not your client, I'm sorry, the claimant is hurt on the job, and it's work-related, and he's hurt, and he's actually hurt. He's suffered, you know, a pain, you know, he's in pain. And you have, against that, you have these two forms, I guess, that were filled out by the same doctor at two different points in time, which essentially indicate from whatever source he got it, because he wasn't obviously there when it was hurt, so he either opined it on his own or received the information from a third party somewhere along the way, that these are not work-related injuries, and that's what the commission relied upon. So how do we reconcile the finding of credibility that, in fact, the claimant says, I was hurt on the job, which is all he needs to establish to carry his burden of proof, with your argument that he didn't carry his burden of proof because of these two forms that were filled out? Don't we have, you know, irreconcilable, credible evidence here?
I don't believe we do, Your Honor. And the reason we don't believe that is in order to carry, for an injured worker to carry their burden of proof, they have to prove that they suffered an injury by accident that arose out of and in the course of their employment. They also have to prove that their accident caused their injury. And that is the problem in Mr. Stadler's case. He cannot, on the evidence on the record before us, prove that his injury, that his accident, his two falls, caused his shoulder injury. We have the two forms that you spoke about, the September 23rd, the National Elevator Industry Health Benefit form, and that's the form that Dr. Nort filled out indicating that Mr. Stadler's disability was not work-related. And I know Mr. Snessel talked about that there's two different injuries on that form, and that that's inconsistent. It's our position that because Mr. Stadler has the burden of proof on causation, that if there was some kind of discrepancy in the record, it's up to Mr. Stadler to clarify that by way of questioning the doctor, deposing the doctor, sending medical interrogatories. He's got to prove by a preponderance of the evidence that his falls caused his accident. That form, the National Elevator form, as well as the October 8th preoperatory form, by that point, Dr. Nort had been advised by Mr. Stadler he had hurt himself at work. But Dr. Nort still completed that form, indicating that his accident was not work-related. But those two forms are not the only evidence in this record on causation. We've got the office notes when the claimant treated with Dr. Nort. And that first treatment with regard to his shoulder was back in September 8th, which was about a month and a half after Mr. Stadler's accident. And at that doctor appointment, the claimant was seen for his knee that he had hurt, which was unrelated, and ongoing right shoulder pain. But at that visit, Mr. Stadler never told Dr. Nort about the cause of his shoulder pain, a mechanism of injury that he had fallen on his shoulder twice on the same day, and he'd never even said that his fall was work-related. He just said, Dr. Nort, I've got shoulder pain. So there's no causal relation in that note, Dr. Nort's September 8th note. There's also no causal relation the next time he saw Dr. Nort on October 8th. He told Dr. Nort, I want to make it clear to you this is a workers' compensation or a work-related injury, and that he reported that he injured his shoulder twice on that day, but Mr. Stadler still never told Dr. Nort how he injured his shoulder or the fact that he even fell. So the medical evidence we have that was before the commission, is before this court, lacks any. There is no statement regarding causation from Dr. Nort in this record that says that Mr. Stadler's two falls caused his injury. And I believe Mr. Snessel mentioned Cridlin. Cridlin says that you can get to the testimony of a claimant on the issue of causation if the medical record is inconsistent, fragmented, non-existent, inconclusive. Well, in this record, for the reasons I just went over, the medical record's not inconsistent. It consistently says not work-related, not caused by work. It's not non-existent because we have the two forms and Dr. Nort's office notes. So we don't even need to get to Mr. Stadler's testimony on the issue of causation because we've got the evidence we need in the medical records. But if we didn't, for the sake of argument, the medical records were silent on the issue of causation. Mr. Stadler's testimony on that issue would not help in this case because he was never asked, if you review the hearing transcript, which I've done thoroughly, he was never asked and he never testified with regard to causation. Mr. Stadler never said, when I fell, my falls were the cause of my injury. So upon the record before us, he cannot establish causation, which we believe, like I said, to be the issue in this case and not so much Mr. Stadler's credibility because he was found to be credible.
So as I understand your argument, the claimant testified and the commission accepted the fact, the majority of the commission accepted the fact that he had been injured in the two falls, but neither he nor the medical evidence defined what that injury was, and that the subsequent statements or record, medical records defining an injury at that point don't tie it to the injury at the time of the accident.
I believe to back up to the first part of your question, the full commission found not that he injured, not so much that he was injured, but he fell twice.
Well, I'm reading. It said, therefore, we logically deduce from the evidence that the complainant suffered a right shoulder injury as he testified at the hearing.
And is that from the full commission opinion?
I thought it was.
Okay.
They are adopting what the deputy found. Okay.
What the commission is saying in our position is there is no question that Mr. Stadler fell twice on July 22nd. But based on the medical record and the lack of testimony from Mr. Stadler on the issue of causation, he has to prove that those falls caused his accident. And when you don't have any testimony from Mr. Stadler, the claimant on that issue, and you have medical records from Dr. Nort, which say nothing about causation, his actual office notes is what I'm talking about, they say nothing about causation, and then on top of that, you have the two forms, the health benefit plan form and the pre-op form, that both check that his injury is not work comp related. It's virtually impossible for Mr. Stadler to carry his burden of proof on the issue of causation.
All right, I do see that the what I was referring to was what the deputy found, and they concluded, however, the record fails to substantiate by a preponderance of the evidence that the complainant injured his right shoulder as a result of either fall.
Okay, that's correct, Your Honor. That was my understanding.
Anything else?
Does the court have any further questions for me?
No, thank you.
We would ask that this court affirm the finding of the full commission that Mr. Stadler failed to carry his burden of proof with regard to causation.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Perkins.
Thank you.
Mr. Snitzel?
Your Honors, if there was ever a case where the medical records were inconsistent and inconclusive as described in Cridlin, this is the one. And that's why Cridlin is law. That's the nature of these workers' compensation cases. And, oftentimes, it's difficult to discern from medical records exactly what's going on. And therefore, the commission is supposed to pay attention to what a credible claimant tells them. He clearly told Dr. Noor that he hurt his shoulder when he fell that day. So there's no question about what he testified to. There's no question that he testified that he wasn't having any problems doing his work or problems with the shoulder for the year before the accident, and he had unrelenting problems thereafter. So there's no doubt about what Mr. Stadler's opinion was. Any more testimony that he might have given on that issue, frankly, would not have been competent. He's not a physician. So I think his position on that was very clear. I think Dr. Nort can be said to have implicitly adopted what Mr. Stadler said by quoting it at length in his October the 8th note. Now, it's true, he never said, and I believe it, he never appended that to the note, and if he had, I suspect we would not be here, but I think that's the clear implication from his notes. Lastly, as far as Mr. Stadler's failure to say, I hurt myself at work on September the 8th, or even earlier, by then it was a nagging injury. He'd lived with it. He'd managed to do non-strenuous work for a week and a half. He went on vacation. He came back. He saw the doctor. It was just something that had been bothering him over time. It wasn't as if I'm trying to convince the court that he hurt himself that day, but he failed to mention that to the physician. So there's a good reason that explains why he failed to mention it immediately, but made up for that on October 8th and explicitly told the doctor what happened. What I request the court to do is to either reverse the commission and enter judgment or direct the commission to do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Snutzel. We'll come down to Greek Council and take up Bland versus Council.